We are back with episode 237 of Two Drunk Brothers in the Podcast. We've got a lot coming to you, just like we said we would last week. NFL free agency has been booming over the past couple days. A lot of shakeups around the league, so we're going to talk about that and then touch a little bit on conference tournament a week before March Madness. So before we dive into
it. I was going to say, I don't think we were quite prepared for just how crazy NFL. I don't think anybody was prepared for how crazy free agency has been in the NFL.
Yeah, it's been bananas.
We were like, oh, we'll have some stuff to talk about. And then just popped off immediately on Monday.
Is this possible? I mean, definitely one of the most ones in recent memory, but I can't remember an NFL free agency that had this big of a shakeup around like teams. It's kind of crazy.
I was going to say from a just pure talent standpoint, getting moved around. Absolutely. Like players move every year, obviously. Right. We know that, but just the amount of names that are just everybody that we talked about that were free agents, none of them are on the same team. And then plus more that we didn't expect.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, so this was a year where a lot of that, I think this is the fruits of like, you're starting to see like some of those draft classes that come through that are just absolutely stacked, and you can like, you hardly have any misses in the first round. Like obviously teams always miss a lot of those guys. Like I think of the Christian Wilkins draft class. Like I feel like that draft class was absolutely loaded, and a lot of those guys were rookie deals were expiring and were able to kind of go and seek out contracts elsewhere, and their teams couldn't pay them, so other teams could. And I think that's a big reason why I think it's been so huge. And it's just been, like you guys said, just insane to see all the different names signing elsewhere. And I feel like every 5 minutes I was getting an alert on my phone of so-and-so signing with so-and-so for some crazy ass deal. So yeah.
I ended up having a flat tire on Monday. I ran over a fucking screw. And so I spent most of my morning at the Amoco up the street getting my tire patched. So while I was doing that, I was just sitting there like reading off all the tweets from Schefter and all the different stuff that was coming through. And it just, like you said, it seemed like every time I saw something, something else came through.
Yeah.
And then I would go look up that. And it was ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, and there's still a lot of free agents left to be signed. However, granted, not a lot on the offensive side of the ball. Most of them are pretty defensive heavily. There's about five or six offensive linemen still out there. So some of the teams who haven't made moves, I would hope would kind of make those in the coming days, because there's some teams that have really been absent in the whole free agency pool, which is kind of crazy because you got a lot of, and it's weird because a lot of the teams that have been absent are the teams that need to make moves to better themselves. So that being said, what are some of the crazier headlines? Well, I guess we'll start it off with maybe one of the better free agent signings of the week so far that you guys think.
Yeah. This isn't one of the biggest, craziest free agent signings of the week so far. I just feel like we should get this one out of the way for people who don't want to listen to it later, but Drew Lock has the chance to do the funniest thing in NFL history. And the fact that I just keep going back to it, and he's probably not going to start, and you know, there's always that chance they draft somebody, whatever, but I just think it's hilarious. You know, we go back to that draft class and we did our mock draft and we had Drew Lock going, I think it was 15 overall to the Broncos. And we were kind of shocked when the Giants passed on him. And then they suddenly took Daniel Jones. And we were like, what the fuck? Like we thought Daniel Jones was going to go like late first round, and Drew Lock falls to the second. They paid Daniel Jones a shit ton of money. He has been injured. He has not necessarily been horrible, but he has not changed that team. And now they go out and they get the guy that they could have had 4 years ago for pennies on the dime or whatever it's fucking called. And has the chance to go in there, compete, and potentially do what he could have did 4 years ago. So I just thought that was a cool story. I think it's funny if it happens. Probably not going to happen. Figured it'd be worth throwing out there.
Well, the whole thing with the Drew Lock signing is that now people are talking about them going out and getting a quarterback in the first round. So really, I don't even know how much he's going to end up playing.
Yeah, right. That's no, what I just hear said. That.
I mean, but I mean, if you're the Giants, and you do cut Daniel Jones and you do draft a quarterback. We saw what happened last time when you were trying to rush a quarterback in. Like, what rush do you have? Like, you're obviously in a division that's completely stacked from top to bottom. You're not going to win it anytime soon. You're not going to be beating the Eagles and the Cowboys next year, or probably the year after that. So why not let him get a chance to go out there and kind of ball out a little bit, per se? I mean, he might not, but who knows? It was a one-year, $5 million deal. It's not like he's breaking the bank either.
And I think so. What makes the most sense to me, if I were a GM, and I'm not a GM, and there's probably a good reason why I'm not a GM, but Justin Fields' value has gone down tremendously because of all these moves. Why not go 100%. Try to trade for him? Because at this point, you might get him for like a fourth or a fifth round pick. Go in and then you have him compete with Locke for the job. Maybe he doesn't get it. Maybe it does. But to me, those two quarterbacks are better than what Daniel Jones is offering you right now.
Yeah, I mean, I see Justin Fields being on the Bears at the beginning of the year and them still drafting a quarterback. He reminds me a lot of what Trey Lance is going to be. That's what's going to happen. They're going to ditch him for a seventh rounder this year at some point in time, and that's going to happen. So my biggest signing, don't want to talk about Drew Lock and the Giants too much. Kind of obvious. I want to talk about it in perspective of why they gave him this much money, but it's the Kirk Cousins deal in Atlanta. Why they gave a 30-plus-year-old quarterback who's coming off an Achilles injury $180 million. He now has two of the top 10 highest free agent quarterback deals in history, when he went to the Vikings and now when he went to the Falcons. I get it. I think he's going to do well there, assuming he's able to come back at 100%. A lot of young talent in there. It's baffling to me that they're willing to dump that. Like, they're basically saying, hey, we're going to go all in now. We have all these young stars on rookie contracts, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts. I can't remember the receivers. Drake London. They have all these guys, and we're going to pay this quarterback. They went out and got
Darnell Mooney as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
good wide receiver, too, to have, though. Yeah. You know.
Okay.
It's my biggest, impact signing. For the teams that have done so thus far, they were competing last year with Desmond Ridder and
Marcus Mariota.
No, he's been 2 years removed. It was
the white kid, Tyler Heineke.
Taylor Heineke. Yeah.
So they were competing with them. Then you throw Kirk Cousins into the mix, who has been, competing in that division now for what, 4 or 5 years? Is how long?
The conference, yeah, not the same division, but yeah.
Right, but like the division that is arguably a little bit more talented than what the NFC South is. So for that, and not only that, but you pair them with all these young pieces, and I feel like it's, you add a nice little veteran locker room presence too that they didn't really have before, especially on the offensive side of the ball. There was no one that had been there for a while. So I love the signing for them. I think it makes them the immediate front runner for this division, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just don't like the money aspect of it. It's a lot of money for an old quarterback coming off an Achilles injury. That's my bit. I mean, I think it's going to have a lot of impact. But then you also look at the Tampa Bay Bucks. They re-signed Baker. They re-signed Mike Evans. I mean, you have Derek Carr in New Orleans, so they can figure that out. Like, I mean, it's not a cakewalk division, I don't think. I definitely think it makes them the front runner, though.
I am going off what you said about Baker. Extremely happy for him. 3 years, $115 million. What a bag for him to get. And I think it's well-deserving over what he did last year.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Ethan, 100% agree there.
What was your biggest impact signing that you think?
Yeah, well, I didn't really want to egg on it too much. It was the Kirk Cousins one. I just think that it makes so much sense. From a what you need standpoint, I agree with Jared about the money, but Kirk Cousins, I don't know if it's him, his agent, or devil magic, but this is what this dude has done his whole career, is get guaranteed money and get a bag for playing. I'm not gonna say average QB play. He plays above average QB play, but it's not like he's like, an elite QB by any stretch of the measure. I saw a funny stat the other day that Kirk Cousins has played in more games that ended in a tie than playoff games that he's won in his career.
And it's, you'd only need fucking two to have that happen.
So it's a gamble for sure. And I feel like, a lot of times like that, it is when you're one piece away, sometimes you take a gamble and you pay the extra dollar to make your team get to that next level. Because some of them we've got to think about is, right, is they were 7-10 last year with arguably the worst quarterback room in the entire NFL. And they went 7-10.
Hey, don't you dare talk about Battlehawks legend Taylor Heinicke like that.
The worst quarterback room in the NFL, except maybe the Giants after they got everybody injured. But and they still went 7-10. And so if you're gonna tell me that Kirk Cousins doesn't add at least four games of value there, like, to me, they're an 11-win team next year. And then, you know, aspirations for much more beyond that. But to me, that's the biggest impact, because there were talks about Justin Fields going there, some other things. And, like, I just don't think that would have had the same weight as Kirk
Cousins. We have mentioned that as, like, a landing spot for Justin Fields.
Yep.
The two of them were Pittsburgh and Atlanta, which I guess we can roll into Pittsburgh. I mean, what a deal they're getting. And Russell Wilson.
Like I said, man, it's
for $1.2 million to get a quarterback like Russell Wilson is mind-boggling. And then they talk about a team, in my opinion, that's gone out and added some pieces, gotten rid of some locker room cancers with Deontay Johnson. It's going to be George Pickens season from day one this year. That team was like just – again, I don't think it makes them – they're in a tough division with the Bengals and the Ravens and the Browns. Like, that's not going to be a cakewalk, but I think that makes them a little bit more competitive than you do with Kenny Pickett. So, and you're not going to have the same thing last year where – the Browns and the Bengals don't have the quarterback all year long. That's why they were so competitive last year in that division. So I think this kind of takes them a step above, and for a super cheap contract, get that veteran is bananas.
I know it's a cheap contract, but we also kind of thought the same thing going just to that division with, you know, the quarterback presence. We thought the same thing with Deshaun Watson. So if he comes in, if Russell Wilson comes and plays like he did in Denver,
right.
You know, I mean, there again, though, really no, it's a, they're not really losing, like, because they're getting for so cheap. But at the same time, it is a small window, and it's just kind of like one of those flyers passerbys that you take, because I don't know if he's going to re-sign there.
Right. Well, to me, it's like a B-level version of the Kirk Cousins deal, right? Kirk Cousins goes in, and he automatically makes that team better because the quarterback play was there. Now, the quarterback play in Pittsburgh was not near as bad as it was in Atlanta. But you bring in a guy who is proven, who could have a rebound season. He did. I mean, he had 26 touchdowns and 8 picks last year.
Yeah, he wasn't bad.
You got a 3-1 ratio on a team that didn't really want you to be there, with a coach that didn't really want you to be there. I like the gamble again, and for so cheap. I think the big difference between him and Deshaun Watson, right, is that he's $1.2 million and Deshaun Watson is $273 guaranteed. So that's a big thing, too, is they can just toss him away. If he comes out and he sucks, they just throw Kenny Pickett back in there. And
but then you're Mason right
Rudolph's
back
where gone,
you,
so
you're right back where you were.
Yep.
Heading into this year, which is what sucks. They might have a QB crisis if it doesn't work right out. So low risk, you know, low reward type deal. I think that a signing that a lot of people aren't talking about enough is Saquon Barkley to the Eagles. This was like one of my next big impact signings. I think that he kind of elevates that team. Yeah, they had DeAndre Swift, but he's not quite a Saquon Barkley. It's a guy who is tough between the tackles, but also is a huge receiving back, which really helps in that offense because they look to the running backs a lot. They involve them a lot out of the backfield in the passing game, and I think they're going to need that moving forward because Jalen Hurts did not really look like much of a passer last year, especially deep down ball, middle or medium to long passes.
Yeah, no, I it's huge. It goes to division rival. The contract for a running back is also massive, but it's also Saquon Barkley. Like, if you look at the rest of the running back class, like, he has the most AAV by leaps and bounds over the rest of the class. But again, it's Saquon Barkley. Yeah, I think it's going to make him a lot better. I think, to me, like, it's this is really a hot take, I guess. This catapults them over the Cowboys as the front runner for like this and a couple other signings have done, because the Cowboys talk about teams that have done absolutely fucking nothing. It's been the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, Jerry Jones must have taken some extra fucking Prilosec OTC or something and just been taking a nap for fucking ever. So I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it's huge because, like Travis said, the receiving threat of the backfield alone makes him worth that money, I feel like.
The last I checked, the Cowboys have made one move so far in free agency, and they re-signed their placeholder. That's it.
Yeah.
It's the only thing
they They lost Pollard, which, let's be honest, wasn't, I don't think it was much of a loss for them. But then again, they sat around and didn't sat on their hands with all these other running backs.
We have two more additional ones. They signed Eric Kendricks, the linebacker, and they re-signed one of their interior defensive linemen, Carl Davis Jr.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay.
But they're they also lost two or three offensive linemen. I don't have it pulled up in front of me because I was looking for the article I had. But
yep.
Tyron Smith. And I want to say they might have either not resigned another, regardless of the fact there's some out there for them to get, but they still haven't even went and got anyone. I don't understand.
Yeah, and what's crazy to me is the amount of running backs that have moved around in this free agency and they didn't go get a damn one of them. When all of those guys, I mean, you talk about how many were already free agents. And then on top of that, Joe Mixon gets released. Aaron Jones gets released. Like, you have all these guys who are more than available right at your fingertips and just sat around and,
yeah,
so I mean, now maybe they tried and they just didn't try hard enough, but
yeah. So now your options are J.K. Dobbins, A.J. Dillon, Donta Foreman, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Those are your four options at running back right now for the Dallas Cowboys.
And my opinion is you can't sit with Rico Dowdle and Deuce Vaughn. You just can't. Those are not game-changing running backs in your backfield.
No.
Well, you got the coach's son, Deuce Vaughn. So
right.
Something tells me he might get a little bit extra playing time, but who knows? It's not looking good for them. They need to step up and do something. You can't just rely on Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb to take you to the promised land.
No.
Yeah.
Yep. The big signing that I think a lot of people are looking at is Derrick Henry to the Ravens, 2 years, $16 million. Not quite the bag that, you know.
It seems expensive to me for an aging running back.
Yeah, but I mean, until he proves that he can't do it right on a terrible team last year, he still put up pretty solid numbers. But I do get it. Yeah, it's only two
every run I watched him, it was like he was fucking running to a pile of people for 2 yards. That's what he was doing every single fucking play. He has no versatility out of the backfield.
How many weeks until he gets hurt?
I don't know if he gets hurt.
It's the Ravens. No, it's the Ravens. Come on.
Yeah. I
don't care.
Maybe
something's going to happen before.
I personally don't think this is that big of a signing. I don't think this is going to make them that much better. I don't think that's a weird offense for him to fit into.
Oh, it definitely is. That's why. But if they use him right, it could make him very dangerous.
Like,
right.
Think about all the running backs that have worked there. J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards. I guess he's kind of like Gus Edwards, but not really. Like, it's all been smaller backs that have worked in that offense, not this big, powerful run between the tackles type running back. Because Lamar Jackson doesn't go under center; he's at a shotgun. Yeah. I guarantee you, like 80% of snaps a game. And I just don't see Derrick Henry running very well at a shotgun very often. He's more of like an under center I formation type back.
Yeah, dude lines up 9 yards behind the line of scrimmage and just fucking bulldozing through it.
Yeah,
I was gonna say the hard part is that there's only so few teams that Derrick Henry fits into because of how big he is. Like, he's not your normal running back by any stretch of the measure. So to me, it's hard to see him in a lot of offenses. Now, there are definitely some that fit and work, and the Ravens may not necessarily be one of them. But for me, it was hard to, like, I was trying to put him with other teams, and I'm like, that doesn't really make sense. Like, that doesn't really make sense. And just because he's so big and the offense has to be so run heavy. Now, granted, Ravens are run heavy, just in a different style.
That's fair. And not only that, but that's the only thing they've really done. They haven't, mm-hmm. I mean, they've signed some smaller other guys, but nothing groundbreaking. Granted, you come from a team where you don't really need to do that. They lost Geno Stone, but, you know, he probably is replaceable somewhere along the lines. Let's talk about a team that has actually made some noise that you think makes them significantly better. That maybe wasn't one of the contenders per se last year. Let's hear it.
They were in the playoffs. I think the Houston Texans have made a bunch of splashes. Going out and getting Joe Mixon. I think Danielle Hunter is one of the most underrated signings. Danielle, however you fucking want to say his name. Hey, don't spell it Danielle if you don't want me to say it that way.
That's fair.
I mean, just some of the names they're signing. Like, they got Jeff Okuda. Like, I know he was looked at it as a flop. Also, this is underrated signing, I think, that they got that I had no idea until just now. Tommy Townsend. They signed Tommy Townsend, the punter from the Chiefs. again, Joe Mixon, Danielle Hunter. They beef up their offensive line.
DeNico Autry.
Yeah, DeNico
Shire.
I mean, just a lot of dudes to a team that was really, really good in a really, really weak division, which I think is going to be another weak division this year. I don't think the Jaguars got any better. We'll talk about that in a second. And they just went out and got guys to make them better. I mean, I could see this team making some noise and making a sneaky conference championship run next year. If C.J. Stroud plays up to the level he played last year.
That's what I was about to say. I mentioned it earlier to Ethan and one of our friends. I was like, it's almost like they're kind of prepping for a sophomore slump here from him, which we see often.
Right.
But they are adding the pieces to kind of combat that, especially on the defensive side of the ball, which really wasn't their problem last year. Their defense was pretty stout. Not only that, they add more pieces. Then you get Joe Mixon.
That's going to be great at offense.
Yeah, it's fantastic because they made – who was it? Devin Singletary into a featured back last year. I don't really know what happened or why they shied away completely from Damian Pierce after his rookie year, but whatever they're going to find to work, I guess will work.
Yep.
I like that one. Ethan, did you have a team that you saw kind of solidify themselves in free agency?
It was the Texans, but I'll go a different direction. And I'll preface this by saying, I don't think this team has necessarily turned themselves into contenders. And we've kind of already talked about them a little bit, but I liked a lot of the moves that they made to where 2 to 3 years from now, they might be set up for success. And it's the New York Giants. Outside of their quarterback situation, which is why I don't think that they're there yet, because they have such a non-identity at that position. They went out and they traded for Brian Burns. They went out and they got Jalen Mills from the Patriots. They went out and got John Runyon, who is an offensive lineman for the Packers and a very good one at that. He is a little bit older, so we'll see how that plays out. But they kind of bolstered their offensive line. They got Devin Singletary, which, again, isn't necessarily a splash signing. But what I did not know when I was looking into this, the dude's averaging almost 5 yards a carry in his career. You would never know it from looking at how he's ran and the offenses that he's been in. But he's averaging 4.7 yards a carry. And so, if you put a guy in there, and you beef up that offensive line, he could have the chance to be successful. To me, he wasn't the big signing that made me think that they improved. To me, it was Brian Burns, Runyon, Jalen Mills. They added a couple more different pieces on the defensive side, lesser names, but to kind of give them some depth. Now, if they can go out and get a wide receiver in the draft and kind of
now,
help.
Here's what they do in the draft. Because they are building what the Giants should be. And always, like, anytime the Giants have been good, they've been just fucking dogs on defense. Lawrence Taylor, Michael Strahan, like those defenses back in the day. That's what they're building towards. Because now they have Brian Burns opposite. The kid from LSU, Kayvon Thibodeau, is on the other side of the edge. Like that is going to be a nasty defense. You need to draft a quarterback that's going to be a game manager, that's not going to try to be a hero like Daniel Jones. You know who's going to fit perfect in the New York Giants offense? Fucking JJ McCarthy would work perfect on this team. He's not going to take those risks. He's not going to, turn the ball over. You just need him to go out there. So you got to put dudes around him, but you're building, like Ethan said, you're building towards that by beefing up the defense side of the ball. So I don't hate that pick at all.
Yeah. I'm just still such a non-believer in JJ McCarthy. And if he proves me wrong, he proves me wrong. We've been proven wrong before. We got proven wrong by CJ Stroud, but
all these other guys are like flashy though. They're big, flashy. They're big arms. Then it's not their identity. The Giants have tried it. This hasn't worked out. That's my opinion.
They don't have the pieces for JJ McCarthy to do that though.
But they don't need to, like to Ethan's point, they don't need to win right now or even win next year. Like it could be year three, year four. Like build.
They need some help. And obviously a quarterback will help that too. You need a quarterback to help this position, but they need wide receivers because their wide receivers are just dog shit.
Yeah, I mean, when you're still with all rolling respect out Isaiah Hodgins, Jalen Wyatt, Paris Campbell, Darius Slayton, which no disrespect to Darius Slayton, he's had a pretty decent career, but like when that's your wide receiver room, you're not set up for success. And then they don't have any tight ends worth a damn to throw it to either. Darren Waller. Like even him though, he's so hit or miss with his injury, being injury prone. He had a decent season last year, I'll give you that, but Yeah, I don't know, but I just like some of the moves that they made. That was all.
I think Bo Nix might fit well there, but they're not going to sit back and wait and take him. or right. You could maybe get him in the second round, but who knows? A team that I think could be good for years, could set themselves up for a year. Granted, a lot of these guys are on 1 year contracts, so they might be able to bring him back. They need to get the quarterback to find to fit into the team, because I don't think Sam Howell is it, but the Commanders have signed a lot of dudes.
Yes, they have.
A lot. They signed Dorrance Armstrong, defensive end, for a decent contract. Tyler Biadasz, Austin Eckler, Zach Ertz, Nick Allegretti, Clelin Ferrell, Jeremy Chinn, and Bobby Wagner. Like, they're kind of beefing up this team low-key with some good names. They just need a quarterback to solidify it all, which they could very well get in this draft.
They could.
Yeah, they signed Marcus Mariota.
That's why I was like, it's just weird to me, because I'm like, he's trash, are they dude. Are they Come not on. Are they really not going to take a QB because they went out and they filled up their QB room? Are they rolling in here with Sam Howell and they're going to do something crazy at the draft? Like, it got me thinking, why else would you sign a guy?
It's the same exact instance that the Giants are in. They have Daniel Jones and they signed Drew Lock on a 1 year deal. They have Sam Howell and they signed Marcus Mariota on a 1 year, $6 million deal. So it's like, maybe they're thinking, if we can get a QB and he falls to us, cool. And we just kind of take our losses on one of these guys. But obviously I don't think Sam Howell's it. And I really don't think Marcus Mariota is going to take them to the promised land.
No,
but it could be a bridge. Like, if you don't, like, again, think of the division they're in. Like, they're probably them and the Giants are close last place in the division.
Well, I don't.
So, like, maybe we're thinking, like, okay, maybe we get a bridge quarterback, see what we can do with some of these pieces, and then draft a quarterback next year. But this year's class is relatively loaded, so
I don't think Marcus Mariota is made for this, though. Like, the dude literally walked away from football whenever he was on the Falcons. Like, he just quit.
I think what's crazy to me, though, is you mentioned, like, you know, I don't think the Commanders are there yet, and we just talked about the Giants, but this division with all the moves that have been made might be a uber competitive division this year. I mean, not necessarily saying that the Giants or Commanders could come out and win the division, but they might make some noise in the division, to say the very least, especially if the Commanders do go out and with the number two overall pick take Drake May or Jaden Daniels or who the fuck ever is there. If Caleb Williams, for some God known reason, doesn't get drafted by the Bears, hometown kid, I feel like they'd probably snap him up in a heartbeat if he ends up falling to two. But I don't know. Really good moves. I'm a big Eckler fan, and I hope that he returns to form. But it's just like, man, I gotta see something different than what he did last year.
I think he fits well in this offense, because for the Chargers, he was literally like the every down back, just about. He doesn't have to be that in Washington because they have Brian Robinson. So, Austin Eckler could just purely be the guy who sits down 5 yards from the line of scrimmage and just catches the dump offs.
I wasn't expecting the gun noises.
Should have inserted it like Travis Scott concert.
Yeah.
But I think they can be decent. What are you guys thinking? Because this is obviously all these signings take a big play on the fantasy. I think it's just going to be so shaken up next year, which I love it. I love it all. I like changes of scenery, especially in the fantasy game. Let's give two fantasy impacts that we think are going to come out and could be big inserted into this team, or a position or a certain person who going to a team maybe takes away from their fantasy value.
I have one of each. I have a signing or an acquisition that's made a player. I think it's going to change the scenery. And I also have one like, okay, because this player left, this player is not going to be good. I guess I'll kick it off. Justin Jefferson for the Minnesota Vikings.
Really?
Tell me that dude's going to have Sam. Yeah. Well, Sam Darnold is going to be thrown to him.
They got to get a QB. There's no
They'll way. Trade up at this point.
I don't think so.
Either way, regardless of who they are, you have a kind of stacked up wide receiver room, and a guy that really knew how to disperse the ball between them. Whoever you bring in is not going to just lock on to Justin Jefferson when you have a lot of talented receivers there. So, I like that. I think that kind of takes a big hit for them.
Also, yeah. Justin Jefferson is also very injury prone last year, and who knows if that's even going to change this year. So
that's fair.
I wouldn't be surprised if he asked for a trade. I've seen some smoke around that. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he tried to get out of there. But
I saw him going to Cincinnati, and it'd be Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase again on the same team, which would be just completely fucking unfair.
Be wild. And then they throw in who'd they end up getting as a running back? Who went there?
To where? Minnesota? My guy.
The Bengals.
They don't have. Yeah.
They signed somebody and then released Joe Mixon immediately. I can't remember who it was.
Zach Moss.
That's what it was. Yeah.
I don't know.
Dude was a train last year, and they got him for like $2 million.
two years, 8 million. Yeah.
So I like that. I like that move, but I digress. Travis, I'll let you go because I had the one you're about to say, and I have another direction anyway. So you go ahead.
Yeah, I like, because you might think that Justin Jefferson takes a hit. I love Aaron Jones in this offense. He's no longer going to be in a backfield where he's getting half the carries. He's getting goal line carries taken away from him, which I think is massive because the dude just eats, and he eats when he gets a lot of carries. Going into Minnesota, where there's not really a whole lot of competition for him, new QB coming in the system, I think he should see a lot of work coming his way and should do pretty damn well in that offense.
Yeah, I don't want to get on my soapbox, but, man, that was like the worst day of all time.
It was the best news for 10 minutes and then the worst news.
Yep, because I love Aaron Jones. I've talked about it with these guys in that, like, I don't hate the Josh Jacobs signing just because youth and he's been that guy and he could be this guy in this offense. But Aaron Jones was just such a likable guy. He was good for the community from everything that I've heard. He was really good when he was given opportunities to be good. And he was kind of like the cornerstone of the offense for forever. Even when Aaron Rodgers was there, he was kind of like the guy to kind of keep that locker room together. And so to see him go, and not only go, but then go to a rival, is like the worst feeling of all time. But set that aside, he's going to thrive in Minnesota, in my opinion, for the exact reasons you just said. I always see this shit about free Aaron Jones. If you see Matthew Berry on like Twitter, the dude, the fantasy dude, he always says like free Aaron Jones. The dude has finally been freed, and next year he is going to get work. And I think that that's so big for fantasy. That's so big for his game. So that was going to be one of mine too. I'll jump into my backup one that I still think is also a really good fantasy impact, and it's George Pickens. You got two moves that provide George Pickens with the opportunity to hit his ceiling next year. And that is, you lost Deontay Johnson, so you're getting more targets, and a guy who, as like Jared said, kind of been a locker room cancer. And then you add a quarterback that could, again, you know, it's one of those low ceiling or high ceiling, low floor things. But if Russell Wilson comes in and he balls out, George Pickens is going to get a ton of work. And I think that is going to skyrocket his fantasy performance. Whether it skyrockets their team performance is one thing, but he's going to get looks.
If he runs off the fucking line of scrimmage, it makes sure to get 2 feet in bounds when he's got 10 yards.
Exactly.
This is true.
Exactly.
Because I had him last year as my like breakout player or big boom player, and he just did not care to play the game of football for fucking 11 weeks, 12 weeks of the season.
Yeah, no shit.
All right, so I guess we're kind of trending into the direction of now we all three have downgraded players or positions. So who do you have?
No, Jared already talked about his downgraded. He talked about Justin Jefferson.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so my upgrade, or someone who I think is going to have, I just saw the most ridiculous fucking basketball play in my entire life. Some guy just tried to pass an alley-oop, and it just like bounced off the backboard by about 15 feet. Anyway, mine's Joe Mixon to the Texans. I think Joe Mixon's
kind of been, through the air like that, Jackie.
Yeah, I mean, this thing bounced off the backboard and went 15 feet the other way. Anyway, terrible pass. Joe Mixon to the Bengals is probably my biggest one. Texans, sorry. Joe Mixon leaving the Bengals, going to the Texans. Now that pass has got my mind in a fucking just scramble right now. I think it's going to be big for him. I think it's going to be big because, like, everyone always – there's somebody in your league that's always super high on Joe Mixon. Like, this is the year. And, like, granted, he's always been a solid player. I think he's always been, like, top 12, top 10 running back. But he's never been, like, that bell cow. He's never been that breakout. He's never been a Raheem Mostert like Raheem Mostert was last year. He's never been, you know, a Derrick Henry. I think this is the year where I think – because that's one thing, big thing the Texans were missing. If the Texans weren't passing – the ball or chunking it downfield 15, 20 yards through the air, CJ Stroud running for his fucking life, they weren't really moving the ball that efficiently and effectively. And I think this allows them to do so, and it makes their offense a little bit more balanced. So I think I like Joe Mixon on the Texans.
All right, that's fair enough. I have a team where I feel like this could affect the whole team just kind of in a small domino effect, and it's Calvin Ridley signing with the Titans. It really leaves an identity crisis in the Jags wide receiver room. So that's kind of my umbrella pick. You have Christian Kirk. I don't really know if he's the guy that's going to be able to take that whole room, take the whole team to the next level. Outside of that, you got Zay Jones and
Gabe Davis.
Fuck me. Gabe Davis.
Big game. They overpaid him.
And you got Gabe Davis, who a guy that – he's not catching six passes a game. He's catching like two passes for 80 yards and a touchdown, and that's it. So
no, he's either catching eight passes for two touchdowns or no passes for anything. That's how
Gabe is. Well, there you go. Maybe eight passes twice a year.
40 million. 3 years, 40 million for Gabe Davis.
I don't love that. I feel like they should have just paid Calvin Ridley the money that he has deserved. And just forked up a little bit extra dough because he's way better than Gabe Davis. I'm sorry. I don't really think that's a debate.
No.
And then on top of that, Trevor Lawrence might struggle, so you might see his fantasy stock drop off the table a little bit. And then if you have any of the Jags wide receivers, if Trevor Lawrence does get hurt, you had Mac Jones as the backup, who he ain't going to do shit with this fucking roster. I'm sorry.
Do you see who else is currently on their roster that I'm sure is just a practice team QB, but – Matt Barkley is currently on the Jags roster. I did not know that. CJ Beth is still there too, but he might end up being the guy.
They're kind of a mess right now.
They are. I will say the one thing that might be a shining spot that comes out of all the Jags moves, and I don't know how much better you can get, to be honest, but Evan Engram is just going to eat targets this year because of everything. And the dude already had over 100 catches and 1,000 yards last year. So as a tight end, if you want to go snag a tight end in fantasy, that might be your guy this year.
I have a sneaky tight end that I think is going to get overlooked a lot. And I almost don't want to say it, but it's Jonnu Smith, who signed with the Dolphins. I mean, I don't know. That guy's only 28. I mean, Travis thought he's like 30-something. He's only 28 years old. And think about all the other, like, tight ends are a dime a dozen in fantasy. If you don't get Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews or I'm forgetting a name here. Can't remember who. I think Jonnu Smith could be a sneaky one. I do like your pick with Evan Engram, though. All right, Travis, what is your – that was your Ethan. Son. Yep, Ethan, yep.
Yeah, it's me. And I'm going to play off of Travis's because I thought he was going to take mine, but he went a different direction. But mine is still Calvin Ridley, but it's just on the other side of things. I think it hurts fantasy value for all Titans pass catchers because DeAndre Hopkins had a bit of a resurgence last year, and specifically in fantasy. The dude at the end, last 8 weeks of the season was getting targets, getting yards, getting touchdowns. Now you're going to go and you're going to put Calvin Ridley in that offense, who's going to take away targets on a team that already kind of struggles in the passing game. We've got, again, question marks at quarterback with Will Levis, Mason Rudolph, who just got signed there. So we don't know what that offense is going to look like. You don't have Derrick Henry anymore. I think that DeAndre Hopkins' value goes down, and I think that Calvin Ridley's value goes down in turn as well. So from a fantasy perspective, you're losing two pretty good wide receivers right there on guys who might have been fourth, fifth round picks in your fantasy draft. They might drop a little further because of that. Or maybe you get them that high and then you regret it later. I don't know. But that's just, for me, the Titans are also a big fantasy losers of the week so far.
Who you know who hurts their fantasy stock, the wide receivers fantasy stock, is whoever the fuck's throwing them the ball. Yeah. That's who hurts their fantasy stock.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's gonna be, who knows? Sorry, Lucas, but I'm not so sure how I feel about the Titans this year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I had if we're done with that, I have one question for you guys from the free agency signing, and just rattle it off the top of your head. And it can't be Saquon or Derrick Henry, because we've already talked about them. Of all of the running backs, and I will name them, that went to different teams this week, who makes the biggest impact on their team? Again, not counting Saquon or Derrick Henry. And this is team impact, not fantasy impact. So Tony Pollard with the Titans, Josh Jacobs with the Packers, Aaron Jones with the Vikings, DeAndre Swift with the Bears, Austin Eckler with the Commanders, Devin Singletary with the Giants, Zach Moss with the Bengals. I'm probably forgetting a couple because that's all I wrote down. That might be it.
That's about it.
And Antonio Gibson went to the Patriots.
Went to the Patriots, yep.
And did you say Gus Edwards with the Chargers?
With the Chargers. No, I did not. So there you go. So of all those guys, is there one that just stands out to you that's like immediate impact? Changes the dynamic of that offense?
No, to be honest with you.
DeAndre Swift. That's the only upgrade in talent that I think each team received, because I think Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones, pretty interchangeable in my mind. Yeah. Definitely not anything crazy. Joe Mixon to Zach Moss, not anything crazy.
It's a downgrade.
Devin Singletary is a downgrade.
Yeah, did you say you can't say Joe Mixon?
No, you can do Joe Mixon with the Texans, yeah.
Well, I would almost say you have to throw him out, because that was one of Jared's big guys coming in. I think it's without a doubt DeAndre Swift, because they're kind of rolling out mid to low tier running backs.
Oh, yeah. Herbert, Roschon Johnson, and Donta Foreman, who's what, 33 now or something crazy like that. He runs old. I don't know if he's that old, but he runs old. So you get a dynamic guy in there. I also, again, I think I said this to Travis earlier this week. I may not have, or maybe I said it to you guys. Packers need to go sign Dalvin Cook and just complete the fucking rotunda of the NFC North running backs, because David Montgomery's on the Lions now. He's with the Bears. DeAndre Swift was on the Lions. He's with the Bears. Sorry, flip that. Montgomery was on the Bears with the Lions. And then Aaron Jones is now with the Vikings. He was on the Packers. So just go get Dalvin Cook, who's with the Vikings. Put him on the Packers. And they'll all be back in the North, just on different teams.
Yeah, I think DeAndre Swift is the pick here. I think it also depends on who their quarterback is going to be week one. I don't see this working out too well for Justin Fields, in my opinion.
You don't?
I think Justin Fields would probably want to run more than DeAndre Swift would. I mean, he kind of
running backs get a lot of work, though.
Yeah, but where DeAndre Swift was most effective, again, let's think about it, when he had all that success, was in Detroit working with an under-center quarterback. If you want to talk about like production and all that stuff, like these guys thrive, these traditional backs.
He did pretty well last year with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, when he started to get carries, he had a pretty solid season. It took like four or five weeks, but once he got there.
When he started to get carries. That's my thing. I think if the Bears draft a quarterback and they roll in a rookie quarterback at the beginning of the season, I think DeAndre Swift's going to eat, because I think the coordinators are going to rely on DeAndre Swift to be the bell cow and take some pressure off of said rookie quarterback. But I don't know. We'll see. But it's an obvious pick. I mean, no one else is going to move the needle a ton for me. The worst one probably is fucking Tony Pollard to the Titans. That's going to be a nightmare made over. So
I don't know why they didn't, because they rolled out Tyjae Spears a lot last year. I don't know why they didn't just kind of plug him in and see what he could do.
My thought process is, do they put Tony Pollard in the role he was in Dallas, and Tajay's their lead, and he comes in and he supplements, and it's kind of a split backfield, but Tajay's more of the guy, I guess, and Tony comes in and takes carries. It's
a third down back.
So, I agree. I'm just saying that if they're not paying Tajay and you want a guy who has proven to be good in the past, you go get him. At least he's on your roster. If something happens to Tajay, we know how running backs get hurt. Then you've got a guy in the back who can do something. Not saying he will, but I don't know.
It's interesting for sure. I think we covered a lot of like the heavy hitter pieces. Obviously, we missed out on some. So sorry if your team didn't get mentioned.
hard to cover all like 175 moves that happened on Monday.
Team by team.
I want to say something. Christian Wilkins, good for you for getting your money. Have fun winning six games here. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. A lot of defensive pieces that moved around. I mean, I haven't talked about them hardly at all, so I'm just going to do my little quid bit about the Packers. I love the McKinney signing from the Giants. The dude has been Pro Bowl last two seasons, all pro, I believe, maybe second team last season. He's only 24 years old. We had nobody in the secondary because we lost Darnell Savage, and as well as a handful of other guys the last couple of years. So I love that signing for the Packers. I hope they go out and get Isaiah Simmons too. I would be fucking off the wall happy.
He's still out there.
Mm-hmm. Two safeties that we have, because we also just lost Jonathan Owens, Simone Biles' husband. Yeah. We lost him to the Bears.
Bears. Another. You guys love to swap division. You know, they love to bounce around. It's stupid.
I hate it. I hate everything about it. I mean, I think Brett Favre's the curse that started all of this by going to the Vikings.
But they've got. I think we all know where we're going. Where they're going in the draft, though, and that's going to be the defensive front seven for sure.
The Packers.
Yeah. No, they have to draft an offensive lineman. We have no one on the offensive line anymore.
Yeah, Bakhtiari retired. They lost.
Well, he got released. Bakhtiari will be on the Jets next year if Aaron Rodgers isn't the vice president of the United States.
I don't know. I don't know what offensive lineman is going to be. Yeah, I don't know. It's
bad to fall
in there because
we have 11 picks this year.
They also lost Za'Darius Smith, who's a big one.
That was 2 years ago. Yeah.
Not Za'Darius Smith. They lost.
Lost John Runyon on the offensive line. We lost
someone else signed to another team. Not Za'Darius.
Darnell Savage was a safety that we lost, which is why we got Isaiah McKinney. Keyshawn Nixon re-signed, which was kind of nice.
I'm drawing a blank on it.
It doesn't matter
either way.
So Ethan talked about the Packers. I'll talk about the Dolphins. I was disappointed the first day. They really picked it up in days two and days three. They really bolstered their linebacking core, which has been a severe problem for us the last how many years has our linebacking core been a problem?
Forever. Yeah. Since Kiko Alonso was in the linebacking core.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, they went out and they got some, like, Shaq Barrett. Who was the other guys we signed?
Jordan Brooks,
who's a fucking dog, and they also got Anthony Walker Jr. from the Browns, which is underrated. He was a captain, and Jordan Poyer. So, props to the Dolphins making moves on the defense side of the ball. Now we just got to, I think like Travis, like Ethan said, we need some offensive linemen, but we'll see. I don't know.
There's, like I said, there's some out there still to sign, and I mean they're even. You could take some, hopefully, maybe a discounted rate here in the next few days after they don't go anywhere. But there's about five or six out there.
Connor Williams.
Well, you got a center already.
Well, Connor Williams was originally a guard. He moved to center.
I was just going to say really fast, too. I got to correct myself. It's not Isaiah Simmons. It's Justin Simmons. I think we all knew what I meant. But Justin Simmons is still out there. I also forgot about that. Like, the Packers could technically sign offensive linemen and then go get some edge help or defensive tackle help in the draft. But I would love to get, what is it? You said Tyler Smith. What is his fucking name from the Cowboys?
Tyron Smith. And Trent Brown still out there.
And John Williams.
Jonah Williams. Andrews Pete. There's some big names out there. Some big old tackles too. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if one of your favorite teams or your favorite team swipes up one of those in the coming days, because they are out there. With that being said, we'll bore you with any more of our favorite team talk. We are going to come right back with some college basketball conference tournament week. All right. We have to talk a little bit about conference tournament week in college basketball, considering we haven't touched a whole lot on basketball, been betting it, but have been putting out picks. So we'll talk a little bit about this because we got, obviously, the Selection Sunday. Is it Selection Sunday or do they do it on Monday?
It's Sunday.
I forgot how they did it with basketball. So we'll roll into the ACC tournament first. We'll give a winner, maybe a dark horse that we think could make some noise. UNC is the number one seed, Duke number two, Virginia number three, and Pitt number four. Are we going chalk here, Ethan, or what are we thinking? I think it's anyone's game with how this fucking college basketball year has been going.
I agree, and I think what's going to be crazy for everybody listening and for everybody who's going to be betting on college basketball during the tournament, there is no clear cut anywhere for anyone at any time. This is going to be the one tournament. And we've been saying this, I feel like, for the last few years, but this year really feels like the year where I have no fucking clue anybody in the top 25 could win this tournament this year. And maybe even outside of it. I have no idea. But for ACC specifically, I am going a little bit of chalk because I just really like UNC. They have a lot of leadership on that team. I think they've got some guys who've been there for a while. What's his face? Who's been there all 4 years.
I think Armando Bacot's been there for 8 years now.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of. And yeah, he might've been there for longer than 4 years. I know Duke is good. I know UVA has the potential to make noise when defense. They want to.
That's it.
They just, but they don't have any offense. Score. Exactly. UNC, I feel like, is the most complete team in this conference. And I like them to take home this championship.
I think I could see. Yeah. I mean, UNC obviously clear cut number one. I've seen them kind of struggle in some weird games this year. So don't be surprised if they do drop a game, just come out flat. But on the bottom half of the bracket, the number six seed Clemson Tigers could make a run. They got Boston College and they'd go play Virginia, who doesn't have a strong offense. So if they can kind of work their way past their defense, get past Duke, who we've also seen kind of flop some games, they could make a run and make themselves tournament bound. You're looking at an outside chance, but if you like someone to make a run, I like them.
You know, I like it. Syracuse out of the bracket. So
Jared said Syracuse. Which,
Syracuse.
I don't know what they ended up doing today.
They lost.
So they're out, Jared. Damn. Yeah.
They got smacked by NC State. I actually like NC State's team a lot. I don't think they get past Duke. But
I say that like Clemson's down 15 to Boston College
with 3 minutes left. So maybe not right. Clemson either. We're doing this in real time. There are games actively going on. We apologize. If you see it tomorrow, we make a wrong prediction. Right, but yeah, I didn't either. I just looked it up and saw it when I saw the NC State game. But I do like NC State. Again, don't think they're necessarily going to make a run. If there was a team I was going to say would make noise in this conference, I like not being in the top four. I do like Pitt's team as well. I'm not saying that they have the pieces to go out there and shock the world, but I think that if they get past UNC, which would be their next game, then they have a very good chance to take home the entire tournament.
Mizzou beat Pitt. They don't stand a chance. All right.
That's a very fair point.
We'll go with Big 12 tournament, which Jared is currently sweating. We're both technically currently sweating. Kansas, who has looked like a shell of themselves of what they've been the last decade.
They can't make a fucking shot, dude. I think they made like 1 3-pointer the entire time I've been watching.
And this ridiculous. Goes back. This goes even with when they have Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough. They just aren't a team that they've been. If the fucking basket ain't falling or the ball ain't falling into the basket, they're fucking useless because their defense isn't great either.
They're playing Cincinnati, who's got Edgerrin James's son. His name's fucking Jizzle James. I'm not making that up.
Your name can't be Jizzle. I saw that yesterday when they almost lost to West Virginia. Jizzle James.
Jizzle James. Edrin, what are you thinking there, homie?
This is a – you almost have a very clear-cut winner in Houston here, the number one seed. But probably the most stacked conference tournament top to bottom.
Absolutely. I will say this out loud. I really like Kansas State, and I would not be surprised if they make a run to the
they're beating Iowa championship State for sure.
The thing is I like Iowa State. I know you're not super high on them. I think that they have a very complete team and they've fallen at times, but obviously, I mean, you gotta be good to be, what are they, like 25-6 or something like that? 24-7. You gotta be good to be 24-7, but they are a beatable team at any given day. And I think that that's the big piece. And Kansas State just has the ability to turn it on. I mean, they've beaten Kansas. They've beaten, I'm trying to think of who else I saw them that they had beaten earlier. And that's as a 10 seed. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see them sneak a couple of wins and make their way to the championship game. Not win, but make it there.
I had Iowa State in my like Elite Eight or Final Four a few years back whenever they were a high seed, got bounced early. I just continue to think they are frauds.
Kansas State just beat Iowa State like not even a week ago. So that's another reason. Yeah.
there you go. There you go. If BYU could play consistently when they're not at home, I think they could make some noise because Texas Tech semi-fraudulent. Low bottom of the fucking barrel. All these teams are fraud or can be fraudulent except for Houston, which I think takes the cake here.
Yep. Also, another nugget is Kansas State also beat BYU earlier this season. So like they're a team who, you know, they haven't scrappy. Put it together. They're 50-50, but they're scrappy and they beat good teams. So I like
all takes. To go deep all in takes in yep. March.
Yep.
All takes in March.
But Houston. All right. Houston all day.
Big Ten tournament. Ethan's alma mater. Illinois, the 2 seed. Purdue, the 1 seed. This kind of feels like it's a two pony race between those two. The fact that Nebraska's a 3 seed is.
I was gonna say I can't see anybody else coming out of this.
Hey man, Fred Hoiberg.
I really appreciate Jared's little chime-ins here and there. There's no other team that can win this tournament, man. There's all the teams that are usually good in this conference. Michigan, awful. Ohio State,
yes.
Not great. I'm trying to think of other teams. Michigan State Iowa. Is decent, but not great. Iowa, not. I mean, again, they're above 500, but not great.
I would not be surprised. I could see the writing on the wall. Iowa beaten Ohio State and then taken down Illinois because Illinois played some stinkers this year.
I think they're going to win this conference tournament and for one reason and one reason only. It is so hard to beat a team 3 times. So hard to beat a team 3 times. Purdue would have to beat Illinois to win the conference tournament if they make it to that championship game. And it's just, we've seen it time and time again that it is so hard. And I couldn't see him doing it through, especially on a neutral floor. I don't know. I think that Illinois has the pieces. They've put it together lately. Their defense has been so much better. A defense that is currently ranked, I believe, like 156th in the nation, but like the last 3 weeks has been like top 50. So if they can keep putting it together, sure. I agree. They're hit or miss because they have played some stinkers. They have played some big letdown games. But I still think it's a 2-team race.
I'll say it's whoever wins in the Iowa-Illinois game takes it home.
Fair enough. You know a team that I think could make some noise, though, if we want to talk about teams that they're technically in the top 4, I guess, but it's Northwestern. I love Northwestern's team this year in Boo Booey and what they've been able to do. They beat Illinois earlier this year. They beat Illinois earlier this year.
Boo Booey.
Maybe twice, actually. I don't know. I'd have to go look. But they're a scrappy team, too. I don't know if it's these purple teams that are just giving me good vibes with Kansas State and Northwestern, but I could see them also making some noise and surprising some people.
Yeah. I'm about to bet on Montana -7 to fucking coop with this Kansas loss, so wish me luck there.
Hey, Montana State is on my do not bet list, so there you go.
Okay, there you go.
Do you like that? Someone's phone is making some Jared's. Alien noises.
My bad.
There you go. Then we got one last. We got the SEC tournament going down. Tennessee, Kentucky, Bama, Auburn. I've got Mizzou taking it all.
Same.
Just kidding. This Tennessee team is scrappy. Dalton Knecht is a classified baller. But if he has a bad game, that's all it takes for this team to get bounced from either this tournament or the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I had one note on this tournament and moving forward, because I mean I picked a winner, but I had one big note. Take every over in the Alabama game for the rest of the season. This team scores so well, but they have the worst defense I have ever seen. I've ever seen for a Power 5 contending team. Let's put it that way. They are constantly giving up 100 points and winning. It's ridiculous. I've never seen that in college. So like, I don't know. And their overs might be in the like 180s. I'd still take it. So that is one thing I took away from it. They could pull out and win this tournament. I don't know. A team that I think could surprise some people in the SEC is Florida. I think Florida has the ability to make a deeper run in this tournament. Maybe not necessarily win it, but knock off a couple of better teams, including Alabama, who they beat earlier this year. But I also think Tennessee is kind of like, I mean, Kentucky's very good too, but Tennessee to me is the team to beat for obvious reasons. They're the 1 seed.
I see the winner of the South Carolina Auburn game making some serious noise. Again, I go back to Tennessee. If they can get past Tennessee, they'll win the tournament. Obviously, they'd be in the championship game. But I'm just not sold on Tennessee, man. I know they're a good team, but if the shots aren't falling for them, they really struggle to.
It's always harder when they basically are playing at home. But again, we saw that last year, and they didn't beat Mizzou. So, but I agree.
That's with you. Literally Kansas right now. Kansas 1-17-3 tonight.
Yeah, not great. I also really do like that South Carolina team. That I talked about it earlier. That South Carolina team is, I mean, they're fucking what, 25-6? Like to have a record that good in a conference that's been pretty, they're not Big 12 good, but they're top to bottom pretty decent. Top to 13, I should say, because Mizzou is not good. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like South Carolina has the ability to make some noise too. I'm not a big Auburn believer. We'll see.
We shall. Again, all these conference tournaments are kind of going to come boil down at one of the top seeds. No real dark horse wins conference tournaments, especially right. the Power Five. In this case, we talked about the Power Four. But we shall see. We'll cover kind of everything once the bracket and all the teams get solidified next week. But for now, that's all we've got.
Yep. For those of you who care, Arizona's winning the Pac-12, but we don't care. So peace. That's not a real conference. Bye.